As you all know from your program, Connie is our speaker today. And Connie is a very personal friend of mine, both physically and mentally and spiritually. We meet at the center here once a week with the Ministry of Prayer, except for short periods of time when either I have a scheduled conflict or she has one. It is a joy to be with her and to conduct the Ministry of Prayer because we see so many wonderful things happening in the lives of those for whom we treat. And for most of you who have met Connie, you know her very well. There's no real introduction needed. However, it would not be fair to me not to do that. So I would like to say that she is a wonderful person. She's a published author. And to get an idea of what a gift in vision is, I recommend her book in the bookstore, which is also titled A Gift of Vision. And for those who have reviewed it and have seen the reviews on the internet and other places, it's a joy for them to read. It's also a joy for them to have this information in print. A lot of times, people are things, and they can't explain them in print. Connie has the joy of doing just that in her book. I think one of the things that Suzanne brought to my attention was her passage on teaching and how this particular information affects us practitioners who do teach the members of this congregation in the various levels of spiritual mind practices. And so with that introduction, I would like to present to you A Gift of Vision, Connie Chandler.
I had the opportunity to speak to this congregation. And when I did, I told a story. And the story I told about how when I was a child, I lived in a family that thought children should be seen and not heard. And that my life was contained. It was a fairly small box. And my parents were smart enough to realize that every prisoner needs a furlough periodically. And the furlough they created for me was my birthday. On my birthday, I could do anything I wanted to. It was a day of freedom. Let it all loose, do what I wanted, have what I wanted to eat, go where I wanted to go, see who I wanted to see, not see who I didn't want to see, and experience life more powerfully on those days. And so I looked forward to those days. And last year when I had the opportunity to speak on my birthday, I realized that I could do anything I wanted to. And I had a tremendous sense of freedom. I brought in balloons. I threw away my notes. I just said, oh, you know, I know this subject. I'm going to just talk about it. And I just had this expansive sense of joyous freedom. And I talked about the fact that it doesn't have to be your birthday to be free. And throughout the year, I've been working on practicing that, and I realized that some days I don't quite achieve that. So I've decided now that it's okay for me to be free on anybody else's birthday. And it just so happens that today is Duke's birthday. Thank you, Duke. My subject this morning is free to choose. Free to choose life. Free to choose our definitions of what matters to us. Free to choose joy. Free to choose our thoughts. Free to move forward. There are so many things we're free to do, and yet we spend so much time in bondage of our own creation. At least that's what I've noticed since I set up to do this talk. Because what happens to me is every time I commit to do a talk, whatever is between me and what I want to talk about comes right up in my face. And so for the last month or so, I've seen a lot of the places where I put myself in a box, where I restrict my own freedom. And so I'd like to tell you one, just one of those stories, to illustrate how that works. I was on the Windjammer cruise last week with some wonderful friends who are sitting here in this audience today. And we were in the most beautiful place. We were sailing the Caribbean in this gorgeous four-masted ship. There was there were islands, beautiful, incredible islands, volcanic islands that were covered with rainforests. They were lush and they were green. There were flowers and trees hanging with fruit. It was like paradise. It was awesome. And there were some contrasts in that experience. And some people found the rolling seas a bit awkward, and for example, and other things like that. But the contrast that came up for me was an experience of not feeling free. So let me tell you about that, how that came about. I'm a visionary, a mystic, and I have an extremely free life. I'm financially independent. I have the opportunity, the leisure time and the money to travel. I get to do lots of really fun things with lots of great people. I meet with people all the time to pray and to meditate. It's a really great life. And so I don't have any excuses for not feeling free. It's very clear to me when it's all in my mind, that it's all in my mind when I don't feel free, because I don't have any of the usual excuses that people give. You know, I'm happily married, I'm financially secure, I have lots and lots of free time. I mean, what can I blame it on except my own thinking? So this is what happened. As the week progressed, here I was in this incredibly beautiful place, surrounded by all of these amazing people that I love. And I wanted to be with them. I wanted to spend more time with them. I see them here at church on Sunday, and I don't have a time to talk. And we don't always get together during the week. And it's such a great thing to be with all these super people that are so powerful. And it's so amazing to be in this paradise to play in. And yet, there's this part of me that says I'm a mystic and a visionary, and it's really important to me to spend quiet time, to be off by myself, walking in the woods, having a connection, a communion with spirit. And so this conflict began to be set up as the weekend continued with 20 of us and 100 and some odd other people on this relatively small boat. There was no place to go to be alone. And this one morning, I woke up early. I woke up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, oh, it's going to be dawn, and they're going to be raising the sails, and it's going to be magnificent up on the deck. So I slipped out of bed very quietly so Kate wouldn't wake up, and I went up on the deck, and I got up there, and the moon was out and the stars were out, and we were sailing. It was so beautiful. And within 10 minutes, the whole crew came up on deck to take down the sails, as it was in that particular time. And they put the lights on, and it was loud and wasn't quite what I had in mind. And so My tension, my feeling of being chained, of being bound, of not being free, was amplified. And that was on Thursday. It was getting toward the end of the week. I'd been with all of these people since the previous Saturday morning. So it had been quite a long time now that I'd had no quiet time to myself. And the following day, we were off on this glorious adventure driving through a rainforest on curvy mountain roads and switchbacks. We were in this open Jeep, and it was bouncy and exciting, and we were having so much fun, and we stopped, and this man who was farming the rainforest brought out fresh pineapples and chopped them up with his machete and fed us fresh pineapple, and then he gave us bananas that had ripened on the tree, and then he cracked open a coconut and he gave us some of that, and oh, it was so luscious to be there. It was such a gorgeous day, and there were my friends, and it was so great. And we went to a waterfall, and we climbed down this path around these places, across the stream on a little bridge, up to this waterfall. And we got to swim at the base of the waterfall, and it was the stuff dreams are made of. I mean, it was tropical rainforest waterfall. It was so great. And I went for my swim, and I was having such a good time. And I realized as I got out of the pool that a number of people were still in the pool. And all of a sudden, this window of opportunity opened, and I thought, you know, I could go for a walk in the woods by myself. Just walk up to the Jeep alone. And then everybody else would catch up with me. And I thought, oh, that's a really good idea. That would give me a little space. But you have to remember that I was feeling real conflicted. I wasn't pure in my vibration of wanting time to be alone. I was in struggle. So I quickly got dressed. I told Kate, you know, I'm going up. I'll meet you at the top. Don't worry about me. All is well. Just want a little time alone. And I threw my clothes on and I started off. And I was feeling so good about myself. And I got to the little shop that you had to pass through. They were smart. They put the shop on the path. Couldn't get there from here without going through the shop. And there was a man there at the bar who was playing the guitar. And he immediately engaged me in conversation. At this point, I've got a flashing light on me that says, talk to me. Because I really wanted to be alone from a place of not feeling like I was going to have the opportunity to be alone. And so he chatted with me, and I wanted to be polite. You know, I didn't want to do that ugly American sort of thing when I was in this beautiful tropical paradise. So I tried to be polite and continued moving, and then the lady who was running the shop spoke to me, and because of her accent, I didn't quite catch what she said, and the response that I gave to her was not appropriate, and I could tell from her face that I hadn't answered her in the way that she expected to be answered. So I felt bad about that. Again, I wanted to be nice and be polite, and so I asked her what she had said, and then I responded to what she had said, and then having engaged me in conversation, she proceeded to show me everything that they sold in the shop. And I'm trying to get away, and I can see that there are still people sort of getting dressed at the bottom of the hill, and that I still might eke out a little bit of communion with nature. So I finally escaped, and I moved onto this path, and it was awesome. There were flowers and butterflies and birds and fruit hanging from the trees, and I'm walking over this beautiful bridge across the creek, and I'm savoring this moment of alone time, and I start up the hill, and all of a sudden I can hear crashing through the bushes behind me. And I turned around to look, and here's the young man who was driving the Jeep. And he said, I noticed that you went off alone. What's wrong? And I said, nothing's wrong. I just wanted a few minutes. And he said, well, look, I have in my pocket these wonderful cashew fruits. And it's an opportunity for you to explain to all of the other people on the trip how every cashew has a fruit. And he left me there with these fruits. And so I got to engage in conversation. Every person who was on both of the Jeep trips, I didn't just have my little Jeep trip. I had the other Jeep trip as well. And I got to see in a really big way how what you vibrate comes to you, not what you want. What you're fearing is as much a part of your experience as what you say you want. And we keep amplifying the experience of what we don't want as that sense of tension, that sense of bondage, that sense of fear increases. So what do we do about it? Well, I got home and I thought about what I wanted to do to create my life more like my vision of what my life really is. And many of you know I call the vision of what I want my life to be Evensong. It's my experience that life can be heaven on earth. It can be a place where we're surrounded in love and relaxed and enjoying life. And when I think of Evensong, what I see is a monastery. It's this fabulous place on the side of a river where animals come at sunset to drink from the river and where I always have people to pray and meditate with, where I have the opportunity to be with nature, to sit in serenity and silence, and be around people who like the same kind of communion with nature that I like, who have a sense of beauty and grace and peace and freedom. This is an image for me of great freedom. And so I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's my vision. That's what I want to be living now. What am I living now? Well, I'm living a really good life, but I'm not living one that looks quite like that. And as I was preparing for this talk, I was reading a book by Harry Brown called How to Live Free in an Unfree World. How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. Thank you, Tim. And many of the things that he says are dated. It was written in the 70s, but there are some really powerful ideas in that book about freedom. And one of the things he says that is really powerful is that if you take direct action, you take action today. If you do something that you yourself can do, you take action today. If you depend on collecting a huge number of other people to create, for example, a monastery, then you have a lot of people to influence, to convince, to bring together, to change the thoughts of in order to get what you want. So he helped me focus, and I said, how do I get more of what I want today rather than waiting until I can influence all these people to create this huge place? And so I thought about my daydreams, my imagination of what life would be like at Evensong. And I realized what life would be like at Evensong. The things that keep coming to my mind are, first of all, that there would be people to pray with and meditate with during the day. And secondly, that I would be sitting out on a beautiful patio surrounded by trees, and I'd be talking to people from all over the world. Those were the three things that were the qualities, the specific qualities that I saw at Evensong in my mind when I thought about what would I be doing there. And what I realized is that I have a life that's very much like that now. I spend a lot of time out in the woods. I have opportunities to pray and meditate with a lot of people. I create groups to do that on a regular basis because I really enjoy that. But when I thought about it, I realized that I can create my practitioner practice to be more of that experience. Because what I want is to talk to people from all over the world, which I do on the internet on a regular basis. And I want to pray and meditate with people throughout the day. So I began thinking in those terms about how I can create what I want, and I realized that it would be really easy to create some new kinds of practitioner sessions where I spent 15 minutes with a person rather than an hour doing a spiritual mind treatment focused on who they really are. Or I could spend a half hour, I call this one a peaceful interlude, where I could create an individual guided meditation and walk a person through a guided meditation on a phone call. And during the day, I could have interactions with people like this. I don't have to create monastery to do it. So I was left with that part about being out on the patio, because I live in a townhouse. And we live in Virginia, and face it, I don't want to be outside when it's 95 degrees and 90% humidity. It doesn't have that feeling that I have in my image. Somehow, there's no sweat involved, you know? So what I decided to do is create a patio inside my house. And I have a back bedroom that's the junk room at this point, and I'm going to redecorate it as a patio with wicker furniture and a nice rocking chair and a mural of the outside, and create for myself in my mind, because that's really all that matters, the feeling of what I want to feel like at Evensong. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to give up my dream and stop experiencing that wonderful fantasy about actually having that place where the climate is perfect and the animals come to the river, but that I don't have to wait until I can create all of that and influence all those people to have what I personally want today. So how do you get to more freedom right now? Well, you realize that a lot of the feeling of unfreedom is within you. You're creating the sense of tension, that inability to move in the direction you want to move. Because when you decide you want to move and you decide what you can do to move, you can start moving right now. And then what you do next is you look at your dreams. Where do you want to be? What do you want to be doing? What is life about for you? I have more quotes over there than you can imagine in preparation for this talk, and I haven't used any. But there's one I really have to throw in just because it's marvelous. The Dakota Indians say that if you find yourself riding a dead horse, the best strategy is to dismount. So what I suggest to you this morning is look at your life and see where the dead horses are and be willing to leave them behind and find just one small direct action that you can take today that would lead you more toward having a life that's like what you want to experience. And then tomorrow, look for another one, and the day after, look for another one. And realize that you're not committing yourself for life to any of these choices. Every single one of them can be changed, because the only one who makes the decision is you. You are free to choose. Isn't that amazing? We are blessed, and so it is. So let's pray. That's what I like to do best. And so into this space of life and awe and wonder and grace and reverence and joy, we recognize the presence of God. We recognize that freedom is a quality of God. It's what we are. It's what we do. It's everything that ever existed, because it is the basis of life itself. That energy, that power, that love, that is freedom, is right here and right now. Simply breathe into it. Feel it powerfully and wonderfully inside you. For it is the very nature of my being, and what I know for myself, I see clearly for each of you. The power to be free is within you. The expression of freedom is your life. You are free to be what you are today. You got there through freedom. You will move to where you want to be in the future through freedom as well. And every day, little choices add up to big changes. So today, look for reasons to feel free. Look for that within yourself that defines success.
find in your heart what gives you joy, what you daydream about, what makes your life sparkle. And choose sparkle. Choose passion. Choose excitement. Choose life. Break through those bonds of fear that have allowed you to feel that tension, those chains, and move to that place where you know yourself as the power of who you are. And so I claim for each of us today that power, that knowing, that energy, and that love, the grace of who we are, perfectly and purely expressed in every day, in every choice, seeing clearly through our guidance exactly what to do, where to go, and how to think, so that our lives are filled with freedom and joy and love. It is a choice, and I see us making it powerfully every day. And I know all of this for each of us, and I also know that all of the requests in the box for the ministry of prayer are blessed, that the very nature of God itself is joy and health and prosperity and right relationship. So I see for each of us and for all of those who've made requests that same light, radiantly glowing, powerfully expressed in the world. It is good and it is done, and I am grateful. So I relax and trust as I release my word into the law, allowing it to be. And so it is.